Well, welcome to Tri-County Church. We are kicking off this brand new series titled Brain Freeze. If you're a guest with us, I'm so thankful that you took a step in, and just want to send a warm welcome to everyone across all of our locations, everyone connecting online right now. And let me start off with a really deep, deep, deep question. Have you ever had a brain freeze before? You know that, right? You have that big bowl of ice cream that you've just been looking at, and you're like, oh, this is gonna taste so good. You have a nice Slurpee that's filled with sugar and other chemicals, but it tastes oh so good. I know some of you are like right now, are like, where's mine? Right? You get that cold glass of ice water on a hot day, and you're like, and all of a sudden you feel it, right? And once you feel it, it's too late. You feel it creep up on the side of your neck, up the side of your head, and all of a sudden it starts to settle right in the middle of your forehead. And all you do is grimace and grab your brain, and it doesn't help. And then someone, right, you know, and maybe you're the someone who's sitting with you, staying with you, they're like, are you okay? And you're like, no, I'm not okay. Now, let me ask you this question. That's so not good. Have you ever gotten over a brain freeze? And I'm talking a second later, find yourself, right? And all of a sudden the second one comes, you're like, what am I doing, right? There's just something about it. And the pain, I mean, right, we've all had that pain. There's nothing worse, right? Because that pain right in the middle of your forehead, I mean, and when it hits, I got sugar all over my mouth now. Right? That pain's right in the middle of your forehead. Well, scientists actually have a scientific definition of what a brain freeze is. I mean, this is like a medical thing. I mean, we call it a brain freeze or an ice cream freeze or whatever the phrase is. But scientists have labeled it, well, they've labeled it this. So what we're going to do, this is a little just group participation, everyone at all of our campuses, even for those of you sitting online, if you're online in a public place, you still have to do this. On the count of three, we're just going to all, with all of our gusto, say these two words, right? Like, even if you're going to get it wrong, like, nail it with enthusiasm, right? Okay? Just nail it. Some of you are like, I know these. Well, then say it really loud, right? But you all have to participate, right? Right? On the count of three, all locations, one, two, three. Wow. I'm just telling you, I'm sure across all of, I mean, Hill Campus nailed it, right? It's sphenopalatine ganglion neuralgia. I mean, we could call it SPG, that's the shorter version, but why? When you can nail it, sphenopalatine ganglion neuralgia. And that phrase, or those two words, is a scientific definition of a brain freeze. Well, and what these words mean is these are actually the nerves, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't. These are the nerves attached to your brain right behind your nose. These are the sphenopalatine ganglia neuralgias. And here's what the doctors don't know. They really don't know what causes a brain freeze. There's some theories out there, but they still don't know. They think that it maybe has to do with blood vessels constricting and releasing again. They think that there's a couple of theories out there, but they do know it has everything to do with these sphenopalatine ganglia neuralgias right behind our nose. So now that we don't know the cause, what they have said is, well, we can stop it. And this is great, helpful information, because maybe you don't know how to stop it. At least, you know, you're like, I'm going to learn this at church, because all of you thought maybe you would. To stop it, you got to press your tongue to the roof of your mouth. How many of you are pressing your tongue to the roof of your mouth right now? Come on. Yeah, right? I know. You're like, oh, yeah, okay. Press your tongue to the roof of your mouth. The heat from your tongue will transfer heat and energy to your sinuses behind your nose, which will then warm the nerve bundles that cause the brain to freeze. And now you all know that the nerve bundles are the sphenopalatine ganglia neuralgias, right? That's how you stop it. Well, I read this one article, and they were just talking about all the scientific insights around sphenopalatine ganglia neuralgia, or brain freeze. And they said, well, if you just never want to experience it, Like, if you never want to have a brain freeze, they said, well, just don't consume these foods, these drinks. And I'm like, that's a horrible option, right? Like, I'm sure it's true. Well, their next, like, second piece of advice, well, if you're still going to eat or drink these things, they said, here's another way to not have a brain freeze. They said, just consume them slowly. Who consumes ice cream slowly? Does anyone? I know some of you have self-discipline. I get that. But right, like, once you start eating, once you start drinking amazing blue Arctic slushies, you just can't stop. So what we thought, because I know all of you now are just wanting a slushie, we thought just maybe we should give one away, right? That would be fun. So we're going to give one away across all of our locations. If you're online right now, jump in the chat box, and they're going to let you know how you can get a slushie online, because we haven't figured out how to transport one of these through the airwaves yet. I'm sure that's coming at some point. But across all of our locations, we're going to give one away. And so we have the Tri-County Church People Picker, and one lucky person is going to get a slushie right now. Right? Here we go. People Picker. Which will be over here, and it must be a girl. Yes, ladies. Fourth row, from the back. Third person from the right. Good luck. Someone gets one. There you go. There we go. Now, if anyone wants this one, I mean, I'm a giver. You know, tis the season. I'm not really sure if that is good or not. This week on our Tri-County Church Facebook page, we had posted this video about this new series, Brain Freeze, and a guy named Sam commented on there, and when he commented on there, Scott, who facilitates that Facebook page, Scott jumps on and basically, you know, makes fun of me, which is okay, I'm really good with that, and he basically said, Sam, you know, are you trying to help Chris with message content? And I'm like, I could use all the help I can get. And then I read what Sam wrote, and what he wrote was just genius. And I really think it's really at the core of what this entire Brain Freeze series is all about. This is what Sam wrote. Sam said, occasionally you need a checkup from the nick up to stay on a positive path in life. And I'm like, that's what this series is about. And maybe not just occasionally, maybe consistently. We all need, right, a checkup from the neck up to stay on the positive path, because our brains, our minds, I mean, this is for all of us. Our mindset either will allow our lives to soar or will lead us down a destructive path. And we've all been on both of those trajectories. And what's incredible is the Bible gives us so many amazing insights on how to take our minds and position in a way that will cause our lives to soar. The Bible's filled with insights, tools, real practical tools. And so this series, we're just going to be giving some very practical tools so we can all have a checkup from the neck up so that we can see our lives stay on the positive There's five zones, what I call five zones of negativity. And probably most of our negative thoughts are attached to one or multiple of these zones. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. As I make my way through these five zones, grab a note card. You have note cards in the front of your seat pockets, or maybe grab one behind you. You could take out your smartphone and open up your notes app. Where you ever take notes, you can write it that way. For those of you online, right? Open something up on your computer or grab a piece of paper, however you want to do it. But as we go through these zones, I want you to start trying to put them in order right now in this one season of your life. I mean, these will fluctuate. They could fluctuate tomorrow. But in this season of life, what is the one zone that is, well, the number one cause of your negative thoughts? Again, there's probably going to be one or two really close to number one. Like, it's going to be hard for you to choose. But try to, as we go through these five, go, yeah, this season right now in my life, this is a zone that's creating most of my negative thoughts. And then I'll let you know what to do with it in a moment. Okay? One of the zones of negativity is personal. This is when you wake up in the morning and you find yourself standing in front of the mirror, or late at night standing in front of the mirror, and all of a sudden the thoughts in your mind, and you don't like how you look, you don't like how your hair is, you don't like the shape of your nose, you don't like your body type, right? You just don't like you. And all of a sudden, as you look in the mirror, those thoughts are going through your head. The personal zone of negativity is that zone when you start thinking to yourself, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not competent enough, and you start looking around and comparison sets in because you start comparing yourself to other people. The personal zone of negativity is when you start thinking to yourself, I'm just not of value to anyone. When you start saying to yourself, I'm a failure. That's all the personal zone of negativity. Is that the zone that's consuming most of your negative thoughts? The next one is really closely attached. It's the relational zone. It's the relational zone. That's where jealousy occurs. Again, when you look in the mirror and you wish you looked like someone, it's when you are scrolling through social media and you wish your family looked like, you wish your husband made, you wish your wife did, you wish that you could go on, you wish that your house looked like, you wish that your, right? And you find yourself looking at other people's lives saying, I wish that my life was like. That's the relational zone of negativity. It's for some of you, it's the, I don't trust anyone. That's where you live. People have hurt me, and because people continue to hurt me, now I just block everyone out. For some of you, you've attached that to religious people, Christian people, church people, whatever word you want to attach there, but you're like, yeah, all of them are hypocrites. That's why I don't go to church. That's why I didn't want to come today. Today I don't want to come to church because all those church people are hypocrites. Don't want to be around them. It's the relational, though. The holiday season is upon us. And for some of you, it's just your family. You're like, oh, I'm going to have to spend time with my family, right? Maybe it's your spouse's family, right? I have to spend time with her family, his family, right? That's the relational zone. Is that the zone that's getting most of your negative thinking? The next zone is circumstantial. And this zone is filled with if and then statements. You start thinking to yourself, if I was only married then, or if I was married to someone different then, if I only had kids then, oh, if I only had one less kid, because I could really sell that one. Not really sell them, that's not good, but true. If then statements. If only my job did, if only that person would, if only I made more, if only then, right? It's all these if-then statements. That's circumstantial. If my circumstances look different, then I would be happy. But here's what we know. That never comes. And so we get stuck in all the if cycles. It's circumstantial right now. I mean, that's just what your mind's filled with. And maybe it's just one if-then that is consuming your mind. Is it spiritual? Is that for you? You're just really angry with God. Whatever the specifics are attached to it, it's all the God-whys. God, I prayed and you didn't. Why? God, I prayed and the answer, well, it wasn't what I wanted. God, I prayed and you were silent. God, well, I asked you for this and I saw you do that in someone else's life, so why didn't you do that in my life? God, why? God, why am I carrying this pressure, this burden, this load? God, I've begged you and God, you haven't. God, I don't feel you close to me. God, I don't feel your presence. God, are you there? You fill in there. Is that the zone you're in? Or maybe it's just reactional. Reactional just happens in the spirit of the moment. All right, you're driving your car, listening to some good music, day's going good, and then someone cuts you off. And you just fly off the handle, right? You pull in to get gas, and all of a sudden someone whips in the other way and pulls, and they just stare you down. You get home and you're tired from a long day's work, and you walk in the kitchen and the lights are on, the milk's still on the counter, and a butter knife is on the counter, and kids were supposed to clean it up, so now you're yelling at the kids, and now you're kicking, not the dog, you're kicking the cat because that's good. Right? Like you just react. You ask your husband to do one thing, one thing. That's all you ask your husband to do, one thing. And guess what your husband didn't do? The one thing, right? React. Is that the zone you're in? Is that the zone? So again, if you're like me, I make my way through all of these in any given day, any given week. But now I want you to circle, star, box, highlight, change the color, however you're doing. What's the one? You got to pick one. Because I want you to focus in on that one in the rest of the time we have together. Focus on the one. Got your one? You got your one? Like I mentioned a few moments ago, the Bible is filled with incredible insights when it comes to our minds. Great insights. The question is, are we going to apply those insights, actually apply them to our lives? And if we do, I'm just telling you, it'll change. It'll change the path that you are on. Well, Paul is writing, and Paul spends a lot of time in his letters to churches, churches filled with people like you and me, and he actually writes a lot about the mind because Paul understood how powerful the mind is. And Paul's going to land on one insight that is a game changer when it comes to our minds. The question is, are we going to put that game changer into play? But before we get to that game changer, well, Paul has some great insights leading up to it. Paul starts to write. He goes, therefore, if any encouragement from being united with Christ. And let me highlight. Paul's not questioning the church in Philippi. Like, he's assuming that they are doing these things. So these are really positive statements. They're not negative statements. He's like, hey, if you have encouragement from being united with Christ, and he's like, and I know you are. If any comfort from his love, and he knows that they have comfort from his love. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, you think about all of those statements. And again, Paul is just emphatically saying, hey, I know these things are true for you. And then he gets to the then statement. He goes, then, make my joy complete. Now, we got to be very careful with that statement because it could seem like Paul's saying to this church, this gathering of people, that he needs them to be joyful. Well, that's not true because Paul's joy is completely tethered to his relationship with Jesus. That's why when you name Jesus the subject of your life, it's a game changer. It's a game changer because now your entire life starts to orient it around Jesus. And Paul knows that his joy comes from being tethered with Jesus. So you have to ask, so what does he mean here? Think about it this way. Say you got this big caramel hot fudge sundae. You know, not the small little dish because you're counting points and calories and you have to be on your best behavior. I'm talking like you're going for it, right? I mean, they just pile it all up. They put the whipped cream on top, right? You're just looking, you're like, oh, this is so good. This is so good, right? The make my joy complete is that one little cherry right on top. Don't need it. But if you like maraschino cherries, which I do, right? That one little cherry, right? That's what Paul's saying. He's like, hey, my joy is tethered with Jesus. But guess what? Guess what? When we do life together in this type of way, right, there's completeness. That's why negative thoughts around your relationships, especially if you're shoving people away because you've been hurt so much, you're not going to have complete joy because God has designed us for relationships, even relationships that hurt us. And Paul's like, yeah, completeness comes because God's designed us to do life together, even when people hurt us. By being like-minded, not robots, He's not saying like we all have to think the same way, we all have to have the same perspective, we all have to vote the same way, we all, right? No, he's not saying that. Being like-minded means when you name Jesus the subject of your life, Jesus unites us as one because of Jesus. That's what he's saying. Jesus unites us, one, because of him. He's being like-minded, having the same love as who? Jesus. Being one in spirit. Why? Because when you, again, connect to Jesus, right? God the Spirit indwells you, fills you, and of one mind. Of one mind. And then he goes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, do what? Value others. Lift others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Again, and Jesus just modeled these things. He just modeled. I mean, that's what the cross was all about. Jesus lowering himself to death to lift everyone up. And then Paul lands, and here it comes. I mean, it is a path when it comes to our minds, but it's weighty. He said, in relationships with one another. And Paul was specifically talking about Christ followers within a church context. Is what this letter was for. Now, this should be applied to every relationship. I'm just letting you know. So if you have that angst, like your difficult step into a church because you're not sure about this whole God thing, Jesus thing, but your difficult step, it was relational negativity attached to all Christians being hypocrites, which I know is real. If that's you, I just want you to, I mean, this is what Paul is writing to those Christ followers, to us. He goes, in your relationships with one another, and here's the statement, have the same mindset as Jesus. Have the same thought process as Jesus. Have the same understanding as Jesus. But there's another word that gets attached to this ancient Greek word mindset. It means to direct your mind, to direct your thoughts. Right? That's something you do. You do. Have you ever said, well, that person made me feel that way? We all have. What I hope you're going to see is no one really can make you feel that way. You choose. You choose to allow what they say. Hey, get it. I understand this full well. You choose how you allow someone's thoughts, someone's words to play in your mind. And that's why Paul says, hey, have the same mindset. What he's saying is you got to direct your mind. Direct it to protect it. That's what he's saying. You get to choose which way you're going to direct your mind to protect it. Are you going to direct it on what everyone else thinks about you? What everyone else says about you? Or are you going to have the same mindset as Christ? I'm not saying this is easy. Hear this. I'm not like, oh, this is really easy. In 3.2 seconds, you can apply it, and all your thought processes, you know, are now positive. No. But I hope you feel like you can do something about it. So I'm going to give you three very practical examples. Again, all tethered to the Bible. Bible's filled with this. Again, my hope is you actually put it into practice. First one is this. Surround yourself with positive people. Are you surrounded by negative people? I'm not. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but you know, Chris, you're the pastor, and you have to surround yourself with everyone. No. I love everyone. I will talk with everyone. I will smile with everyone. I will hug everyone. I'm just saying, in the course of my life, I've chosen to only spend time with positive people, life-giving people. I do. Why? Because who you surround yourself with is going to determine your mindset. Again, I love everyone. Hear that. Do not go, yeah, that guy does. No, I love everyone. I don't have some book that has two columns, negative people and positive people, and write your name. No, I'm just saying, when you look at the circle of people that I choose to surround, I'm an optimistic person. I'm a positive person. I'm just telling you, I have one life to live, one. And I'm gonna give God all my life, all of it. Because I only have one. I can't do a do-over. I can't ask God, hey, God, can you just, like, when I get to heaven, can you just send me back down? I'm gonna try some things over. No, I've just got one life. And I just wanna give God my entire life. And when I take my last breath, I'm just gonna say, God, I did everything I can. And I just wanna be around people that, guess what, have that mindset. Who are you surrounded by? If you think right now about all the people you're surrounded by and they're all negative people, I'm just saying, go find new people. Don't be jerks to them. Don't defriend them. You still love them. I'm just saying, if you're surrounded by negative people, change it. Change it. There's a lot of positive people around there. A lot of positive people. This is what Paul wrote. He says, do not be misled. And then this phrase, bad company corrupts good character, okay? This phrase, we call this a Bible verse. But what's fascinating and so insightful about this phrase, bad company corrupts good character, that is in the Bible, so we call it a Bible verse. You know who Paul was quoting? 300 years before Jesus lived on this earth, 300 years before Paul, there's this ancient pagan Greek poet philosopher named Meander. This is what Meander said. Meander wrote these words. And what I love about this is this is just true. This is true. So Paul takes this ancient pagan poet named Meander and said, hey, this is just true. Bad company corrupts good character. Who do you surround yourself with? Who do you surround yourself with? Game changer, game changer. And you can make that decision right now. Okay, family, a little bit more difficult. But everyone else, but you still have to be loving. Hear me on this. Hear me on this. You still love everyone. But who you choose to spend time with, bad company, corrupts. Be selective. Be selective. Second, protect your mind from negative thoughts. Protect it. How do you protect it? Well, I will in a moment share what I do. This is what Paul writes. I love these words. And we take captive, right? We take captive. We take that negative thought, right? We hold on to it. We don't let it go. Every thought to make it obedient to Jesus. Think about the power of that. Take captive every thought and make it obedient. That's directing it. That's taking your mindset and directing it to Jesus. Like every thought is Jesus. Every thought is Jesus. Every thought. So this is what I do. When the negative thoughts come in my brain, I just say out loud, wow, Chris, that was really dark. I say it out loud. When that negative thought comes in my brain, I will say out loud, but is that true? When that negative thought comes into my brain and I'm like, wow. I'm like, really? You're gonna allow that to swirl around inside your brain? I will say these words out loud. It's a little awkward when I'm in the shower and I start saying something out loud and my wife's like, are you talking to me? I'm like, no. But I say it out loud. Why do I say it out loud? Because I wanna take captive those thoughts. I'm just telling you, if you don't, you will start believing the thoughts in your mind. If you don't stand in front of the mirror going, man, I'm just ugly. If you don't take that thought out and say, that's not true because God made me a princess, a prince of the Almighty King, and God created me perfectly. You gotta take captive of it. When you stand in front of the mirror and like, I'm just not valuable, you gotta say out loud, like, that's not true. That's not true because God created me with all of his value inside of me. When you sit in there and say, I don't feel God here, you got to say it out loud and say, God, I don't feel your presence, but you promise that you will never leave me or forsake me. Right? That's taken captive. You got to say it out loud. If you don't say it out loud, it'll continue to roll around in your brain. And the more it rolls around your brain, you will believe it. That's what taking captive means. And I tell you, do it. Maybe not in the line in Walmart or Target. It might be awkward for people around you, but you can whisper it. There's something about hearing your words out loud. Hearing those thoughts in your brain out loud. Take captive. Take captive. Third one, infuse your mind with God's thoughts. He's got to. If you're not every day reading something from the Bible, start. So many times people are like, okay, I'm gonna start reading the Bible. And they like start their Bible reading plan. It's like, okay, on Monday, I have to read 12 books of the Bible today. How do I read a verse, one, start there. Infuse your mind with God's thoughts daily. You can do that. Download the YouVersion app. Start a Bible reading plan. You might not understand everything you read. Guess what? I don't understand everything I read in the Bible. But I keep reading. And over the course of years, new insights. Paul wrote this list in Philippians 4:8. And this is the list. Everything that's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about these things. But remember, half true is still false. 80% true, still false. What's true? What's true? What has God said about you? That's true. You got to hold on to truth. What's noble? Again, partly noble, not noble. What is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is excellent? What is praise? Like, these are the things. Infuse your mind with God's love. And that's why Paul wrote such a powerful insight. He said, in your relationships, have the same mindset. Direct your thoughts, direct your mind, direct your brain to Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he lowered himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You got to direct it to protect it. You have to. And it's going to be difficult. If your mind is like my mind, those thoughts come with a fury and a flurry like no other. I'm just telling you, personal life experience. I'm gonna surround myself with people with the same pursuit. That's what I mean by surround yourself with positive people, people who are pursuing a life reflecting Jesus, not with words, with actions. And when I take captive every thought, and the negative ones, I call out loud. And then when I infuse my mind back with God thoughts, that's directing it to protect him. Put it into action. See what happens. It's not instantaneous. It's not like, okay, today you leave and you're like, I'm going to do it and everything's going to change. I'm just saying, as you make this a daily habit, those negative thoughts are going to be easier and easier to position and deal with. Still difficult. Trust me. I'm just telling you. So this week, when that thought enters your mind, you know those thoughts. Ask yourself the simple question, is it Christ-like? That's the question, is it Christ-like? Is it Christ-like? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for giving us such incredible insights. Because God, you created our brain. You know the power that it can give life, to speak life into people, to speak joy into people, to speak encouragement into people, to uplift people, to come beside people, to weep with people, to share in sorrow with people. You understand the power of our mind that you created, but God, you also know that there's a force working against that. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of us that we'll direct our mind to your Son, who lowered himself by dying on a cross so that we may be lifted up. Lord, I pray that we take captive of every thought, making it obedient to Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.